I just have a very short word today. Today I just want to read briefly in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Although the other rendering is, they which run in a race course run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or be disapproved. Now I suppose it's an interesting time to read a verse like this, and that's not why we've read it. I have often spoken on this, and of course the Word of God never changes no matter what happens around about you, but it is interesting that Paul would take up as an example the very games, the ancient Olympic Games that were run 776 years before the Lord was born. These games started and they continued for 1,000 years. And so Paul would actually draw on these games as an example to give the believers at Corinth an indication of the need that they had to run in a race in which they were all running and which they could all receive. Because that is something that is so precious as we would consider the Word of God, is that there's such tremendous help from the Scriptures and the examples that are given to help us spiritually come to an understanding of what divine things really mean. You know, I often think of, when you think of running, I often think of Peter and John when they set out for the sepulchre. And we know that John outran Peter and came first to that sepulchre, yet he did go in. And here comes Peter, not as a good a runner. John outran him, but John graciously waited at that tomb entrance. And Peter comes running, goes straight in, then goes in John. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, in life when you think of running together, even. But we're thinking today of running a race in which we are all running. And Paul speaks about running a race in which all run and one receive. And he's using this as an example as far as the effort that we put in to running the race that is set before us. But I suppose in these few verses that we've read today, there's just a few little words that I want to leave with you. And they are these in verse 25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In these days that are spoken of, the runner would run in and there'd be tremendous applause from the crowd. They had run well. They had run a long way. A lot of the running had been away from the observation of those that were watching. And the crowd would cheer. But they weren't the one that was crowned, you see. Because there were rules laid down in this race. And then sometimes someone else would be crowned unexpectedly. Not the one that was expected to be crowned, but they'd be crowned. And then the crowd would all applause. But the effort they put into it, and the achievement at winning was tremendous. And what Paul is saying here is, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible. Do you know, I tell you, that came home to my heart in force some weeks ago. When I suddenly thought, what is my account in heaven? What is it? If the line was drawn today, and I had finished my course, as Paul would speak of, I'd run my last steps, and the line was drawn, what would the treasure be? Paul speaks of a crown that he will give me at that day, and unto all those that love his appearing. Here we have a crown that is corruptible. Here we have a crown that is going to fade away. Here we have a crown that's not going to last forever. But we are doing it today for a crown that will last forever. What a tremendous thing. What a wonderful race. Because we're running together. And you know, sometimes in the race, they all run and one receives and they're all doing their best. But you know, in the race that we run, we've got to be careful to help the lame. We might have to be careful to help one overtaken in a fault. We might have to be careful in relation to one that is burdened. We might have to be careful in relation to a whole lot of things. This race we run is running for the Lord. We're pressing towards the mark and the prize of the high calling of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, having laid aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Don't we have tremendous encouragement and to run well? And brethren and sisters, if the crown that we cast at his lovely feet in eternal glory, if we cast it there, it'll still be your crown, and it still will for all eternity show that you loved him and loved him dearly. What a wonderful opportunity we have. Do you know, Paul would speak in the Corinthian epistle of the wood, hay and the stubble. He would speak of the gold and silver and the precious stones. You know, men run today for the gold and the silver and the bronze medal. We're running for gold and silver and precious stones that will never fade away. And they'll never lose their value. And they'll never grow dim. They will be the same value forever and ever and ever. What a tremendous opportunity we have to run and run well for the Lord. And I'd encourage your heart just to think of that. We've got treasure there, and we want to add to that treasure. Everyone has their own account. And all of us in the glory. And every step of this race that we run for God has been taken account of. May God encourage our hearts to do it and to do it well. Yeah, one final little thought that I want to leave you with, and it is the thought of the forerunner. The forerunner. The forerunner for us has entered. You know what a forerunner did? A forerunner would run before. In the early days, of course, they didn't have communication, they didn't have telephones and all these other things. They couldn't communicate. And when a head of state or somebody that was important was going to a particular city or a village, the forerunners would be off and running, carrying forth the news that the king is coming. Prepare the way. They come to the village or the city, and great preparation was made. for the arrival of this important person. And thus, in comes the king. And everyone is lined up and the place is prepared and they give acknowledgement to the king and all his authority and all his majesty, the one who's worthy. You know, brothers and sisters, isn't it just wonderful to think that in our case it's in reverse. The forerunner, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's gone before. And he's entered in. He's entered into heaven itself. And he said, we're coming. We're coming. He's preparing a place for us. And he's heralding our arrival. And one by one the pearly gates are entered. A sinner saved by blood. And so those mansions bright and fair. And he has proclaimed our arrival. We haven't made the preparation. He has. But you know, isn't it lovely? He's coming back. And in a little sense, we're heralding his return. Even as this morning, we gather together to remember the Lord. And it was because he hadn't come that we broke bread and we drank of the cup. We are saying, the Lord is coming. I know we're declaring the Lord's death. We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. But we're still saying he's returning. Christ returneth. He's proclaiming our arrival in the glory as a forerunner. And in a little measure on earth, we say, we're waiting for the shout. You know, people, and there's some nations in the world that really love their king or their head of state, and they really love their country, and they really love their flag. And I sometimes admire people that do that, in that sense. I think it's lovely. You know, isn't it wonderful to think that we have a king and we have a country and we have a flag that is above any nation in the whole world? And I'll leave you with these three little things. What about our king? The only potentate, the scripture says, the only sovereign, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my king. He's above any other. What about my country? The scripture tells me that my citizenship is in heaven, from whence also I look for the Saviour. What a citizenship! I am a son of a king. My Lord, my King, my country. I'm a citizen of heaven. And it's as though I am already there. My king, my country, but oh my flag. What flag have we got? Now we don't have a flag flying up the front of the hall today, do we? No. It's spiritually seen and it's spiritually discerned. This is the flag. He brought me to the banqueting house and the banner over me is love. What a flag. You know, some people, probably more so a little while ago, wanted to change out the flag that we have in this country, in which we're strangers and pilgrims. They're going to change it. The old flag wasn't good enough. A lot of nations change their flag. Brothers and sisters, our flag, the banner we have, will never change. Ever. Throughout the countless ages of eternity, we are brought to the banqueting house. Why? Because the banner over us is love. My king, my country, my flag. Run well for your God as a citizen of heaven. A tremendous price has been paid for you in return. Wouldn't it be lovely to have treasures in heaven to show that we loved him in return.